Today, I caught the bug. Thank goodness, not the bad kind. With zero-cost immunizations and preventative services, I can do my best to keep healthy.
If you are on Medicare or know someone on Medicare, call CareMore at 1-800-965-1217 today or visit our website at caremore.com.
There's a lot of disagreement in the world, a lot of conflict, a lot of people arguing with each other, but I think one thing we can all agree on, the Commodores were funky.
Oh, man
alive, were they funky.
I do not sweat Lionel Richie.
Oh, God, no. Gosh, no.
I'll even accept his daughter's strange behavior, because he's just
it's just
awesome.
That worth it. 710ESPN.com. This is the globally dominant, famous... My mom listens to it. Kamenetsky Brothers pod. I don't actually know.
No, she does. She can't figure it out.
Right. Kamenetsky, our one listener, can't figure out how to access the podcast. I hear you guys are doing great. I've heard about this internet. Anyway, it's the Kamenetsky Brothers Lakers podcast here on 710 ESPN. I'm Brian Kamenetsky, joined by my brother Andrew.
Hello.
We, of course, are the Lakers bloggers at thelatimes.com. You can read
it there.
Of course. I mean, as if there was any question.
Who didn't know that?
I mean, anywhere we walk, basically, it's, oh, well, there go the Lakers bloggers.
Yeah, they either think we're that or we think we're the two brothers who directed The Matrix.
Right. Or, on rare occasion, the guys who did Raising Arizona.
Wow.
Personally, I like to be recognized for being a blogger over any of that.
Yeah, who wants an Oscar?
I mean, or The Matrix.
Yeah.
How many people really saw that?
Yeah, it'd be
mostly
cool.
Mostly hype.
It'd be cool to say, yeah, you know, I had a hand in directing No Country for Old Men, but but it's no podcast.
It's like, I consider The Matrix to be like Y2K.
Yeah.
Mostly hype, not a lot behind it. Lakers! That's what we talk about here, among other things. They, finished their first road trip of the season with two overtime victories, very hard fought. I actually thought last night, recording on Thursday, Wednesday night's win over the Rockets in overtime. What was the final there, Andy?
It was 103-102. Lakers just got by, according to my math, by 1 point.
That is, accurate. We will double check that though in the back. I actually thought coming off an overtime win in Oklahoma City the night before, where they turned the ball over at last count 453 times, going into Houston, you know, not necessarily the most talented team, but one of the smartest, the most disciplined, hardest working teams in the league.
And a team that you know has some sour feelings against the Lakers because of that Western Conference semifinals.
Correct.
Matchup. So they want to take it to the champs.
Right. And, you know, that was a game that they very easily could have lost. No Pau Gasol. Kobe Bryant was sick in Oklahoma City on Tuesday night. Probably wasn't 100% going into Houston the next day. Got to get your legs
Kobe's
back.
Kobe's always sick.
Go,
too.
So
I,
on
I've
and
noticed
so forth.
This. Kobe catches flu-like symptoms, I don't know,
he's got
every
children.
Month. I know, they're germ factors.
He's a doting father when he's at home.
I get
children
it.
Children are
just
filthy, filthy creatures.
I wonder at times if Kobe takes enough preventative measures in his life, like
See,
flu shots.
Look, I mean, I just don't think about
airborne.
I used to teach kindergarten, and I considered my class to be my yearly flu shot. I would go in there, and you remember this. I would go, and I would get something, because as I said, the children are filthy. They're adorable.
They're
little ragamuffins. You just want to have fun with them, play with them all day. But they're filthy. They're covered in germs and grime and disease.
And grimy germs.
Right. Rife with disease. And I would get sick every year. But then after that, I could go into a hot zone.
But Kobe doesn't seem to have that reaction. He seems to keep getting sick.
Then he's got people who always come up and hug him and give him handshakes.
I don't know. I just want, you know,
throw him a little dap. You know what that is when you bump fist?
Yeah. Maybe he just has too many yes men around that Kobe's like, you know, I don't know if I'll feel like getting a flu shot. Oh, no, you don't need
no,
one.
No,
please, Kobe. Sure. Whatever you say.
I don't feel like washing my hands.
No, don't do it, Kobe.
Nope, don't wash your hands.
No, man, you don't need it.
You don't have to wash your hands.
Don't give him any sanitizer.
I don't care if you are the finals MVP. Everybody needs to wash
Absolutely.
Their hands during flu season.
You know what? I actually think Kobe's the type of guy that does wash his hands. during flu season.
I think he does. I think Kobe is very fastidious about hygiene.
I just worry.
I have no reason to believe otherwise.
No, I just worry. Well, he's a sharp dresser.
That's
so
true.
You figure if he has that type of attention to detail
with
his hygiene.
If you are dressed really well, you have a great suit, but grime under your fingernails.
People notice. I've never seen grime under his fingernails. No. I just worry about his health occasionally. I hope he's taking care of himself.
I think he is.
He was not playing at 100%. It was a fun game.
Both games were fun.
Yeah, the Trevor Ariza, Ron Artest, you know, together again for the first time, but swapped teams. You know, that storyline ended up pretty fun. You know, I thought Ariza actually played a terrible game.
I would agree.
But he
finished 5 of 21.
Yeah, that's not considered efficient.
Hit a clutch three, but
it took him
a long way to get to that point.
It was great too, because Artest had hit a three. That supposedly, you know, presumably was going to win the game for the Lakers and against his old team. And then Trevor Ariza comes back with a three that pushes overtime. That's pretty cool stuff. The two of them were matched up together a lot. They were jawing at each other, a little bit physical, a little chippy, double tees. I mean, that stuff's just fun.
Right. I think over the course of the season that I think both teams will end up happy with that, quote unquote swap. It's not technically a swap, but
it's fun to think of them trading places.
That's right. The five.
Like Eddie Murphy and
it
Dan
was
Aykroyd.
The fifth game that the Lakers play without Pau Gasol before the game. It was reported, before the game on Wednesday night, it was reported that Pau Gasol, the MRI that he had received on his bad right hamstring came back clean.
Came back like all the way from Spain.
It had to go to Spain first. It went everywhere, but everybody agreed. Doctors on both continents, a bicontinental diagnosis was that Pau Gasol's hamstring is healed. He's cleared to practice. Probably won't play against Memphis, but should be back in the lineup soon. Basically, as soon as they can get him
up to game
up to speed, make sure that hamstring doesn't have a bad reaction to his first break. There's no rush.
They need to make sure if he has any reshoots for the CSI thing. They want to make sure he doesn't injure himself.
Sure.
A lot of stuff to consider.
So Pau Gasol sometime, certainly in the next, by next week, should be back.
One would think.
Barring any complications. Andrew Bynum, on the other hand, finished, Wednesday night's game needing to go get an MRI on a sprained elbow.
Yeah, he, like in the game's final seconds, he got a pretty hard foul. I don't think a dirty one, but a pretty hard foul from Chuck Hayes.
I don't think there is such a thing as anything but a hard foul from Chuck Hayes.
Yeah, that guy's like a tree stump.
Yes.
He likes to deliver punishment.
We all know how tree stumps foul.
Hard.
They have to because they have no arms. You have to put a body on someone when you're a tree stump.
Yeah,
you have no other option.
You know what? They're just working with what they have.
You can't reach when you're a tree stump. You have to hit a guy.
Right. And it wrenched down Andrew's elbow, and he was in very obvious pain.
Right.
As it happened, afterwards said that he could barely, you know, he had to use one hand to put on his shirt. He was really in discomfort there. It's right now a sprain waiting for the MRI, but.
Tell you what, it would have been a nice night to wear a poncho. That takes that whole problem away. You don't need more than one hand to put on a poncho. You really don't need hands to put on a poncho. You can sort of just duck right underneath it.
So, they're going to wait for the results from the Lakers doctor. They probably have to send the MRI back to New Jersey
sure.
where Andrew's from.
They might just send it back to Spain.
They just send everything now to Spain.
Why not? You know what? Have Pau's parents take a look at this one, too.
That's the funny part of it, too, because Pau's parents are doctors.
Right.
They have them look at it.
Right.
It's like our father is like an ophthalmologist, like, you know.
A proud ophthalmologist, I'm sure.
Yeah. His sons did well. But
look at all that hard work and look where my sons went with it.
Be like, you know, I just had a wisdom tooth pulled, and before we decided I was ready to podcast, they sent the dental film to dad to take a look at.
Take a look at that. But what it gets to, we don't know right now how long Andrew Bynum is going to be out, if he's going to be out. The Lakers play Friday against Memphis, Sunday against New Orleans, and then have games next week. I try not to look too far.
One game at a time, like the Lakers.
I like the Lakers.
We podcast
one game at a time. I can only keep the next two or three games in my head without getting confused, and I have the rest of them on my phone.
Right.
It tells me when there's a game.
Well,
so
actually, Ron Artest recently said he usually has no idea what game's coming up when someone had reminded him that they were going to Houston. He's like, really?
That's great.
Cool.
The Bynum thing, though, gets to something that we've talked about a lot. There's an issue of continuity, and the Lakers, you know, Pau Gasol hasn't been out for very long. Let's say Andrew Bynum, and again, this is purely speculation. We're talking on Thursday. There have been no reports. Let's say he misses
Well, Spain's asleep right now.
Right. That's true. Let's say he misses a week. Three or four games, whatever it might be. Now you're at 10 games or so before the two of them are back on the floor together. The concern that I have, and I think this is something that's been overlooked in the all the Ron Artest, how's Ron doing? How's he, you know, this, that, whatever. Has he integrated himself? Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum spent, I want to say, 50 games. Bynum played 50 games last year. Three of them were at the end of the season. And the first 15 or 20 of the season were more about Bynum getting his legs back than learning to play with Gasol. The two of them need to spend more time on the floor.
And during the playoffs, they did not often play together because Andrew was pretty ineffective and Pau and Lamar were a very effective team. You saw the two of them together a lot.
Right. So not only do you have the issue of Artest, but you have to get Bynum and Gasol on the same page, especially now that Bynum's got a little bit more of a high-low game than he used to. He's much more comfortable with that face-up jumper. You got to get him and Gasol integrated, and then you have to get the two of them working with someone like Artest, who spends more time in the post by a lot, because Ariza didn't go there. All of that working together. To me, this is something that, and you can tell me if you disagree, Andy, that this is something that, to really make it look the way it could be best, is a 40 or 50 game project.
Yeah, absolutely. I not only agree with you, it's why during, you know, training camp when Phil floated the idea of the, you know, quintuple towers lineup of Kobe, Artest, Lamar, Pau, and Drew all together and said he was intrigued by that. And all of a sudden everyone's wondering, oh, they're going to put out this big tall lineup that's just going to dominate. It's like, well,
DJ Benga at point guard.
Yeah, I'm sure Phil was intrigued by it. But, you know, he probably is intrigued by the Loch Ness Monster, but doesn't necessarily think that the Loch Ness Monster exists. I doubt he thinks this lineup exists, too, because it's very complicated. And beyond that, it's not just a matter of integrating Artest, you know, basically swapping Artest for Derek Fisher, which
sure,
is, I think,
absolutely,
the way a lot of people saw it. And they were like, oh, it's pretty easy. Just, you know, swap those two out and we're in. Lamar Odom, Drew, and Pau have barely played much. They haven't played together at all, much less Andrew and Pau. It's very, very complicated. And the longer we go without just seeing the base of that, which is Drew and Pau together,
right,
the less likely it becomes that any of that ever happens.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, obviously the Lakers are going to be a very good team. Assuming everybody's reasonably healthy, they're going to be a very good team regardless. I think everybody agrees on that. They will not be as good a team as they can be, though, unless they have 25, 30, 40 games to play together. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that the lack of continuity can hurt teams. Even, you know, you look at what happened to Utah last year. By the end of the season, they were more or less together. They had everybody on the floor. But they spent 65 games with 65 different lineups.
Ditto San Antonio.
Sure. Same thing with the Spurs. So that's something to pay attention to. The good thing is if there's only one good thing about Pau Gasol returning, as Kobe Bryant reminded us when asked, you know, how hard is it to play without Pau? Well, he is one of the 10 best players in the world. Handy to have around. The bench has been a major point of contention for fans through five games, will probably continue to be. Pau's return should, though, even at least some of that should even it out.
Yeah, well, with Pau back and presumably Drew back.
At some point.
Right. the two of them, we think, will eventually play together. We're pretty sure about that. We don't want to jinx it.
What if Bynum hurt himself on purpose because he doesn't want to play with Gasol?
This is his way of trying to force it's either him or me.
Right. It's very passive aggressive.
It's extreme. Not to mention, it's not just passive aggressive. It's actually pretty masochistic.
Right, well,
looks like Drew really hurt himself.
He's young. And he doesn't always think these things through.
Yeah, there's a better way
to do
it.
Like you told the story last week of him showing up at the ESPN zone in a t-shirt, his Lakers gym shorts, and his championship ring.
Right, and in the meantime, it's like 55 degrees out, right, and it's flu season. Drew put on a coat.
Right, but at least some pants.
Right.
Exactly. God's sakes, pants. Those are long legs. It's a lot of skin.
Right, but Lamar would go back to the bench where he would take on the six-man role that he was very good at last year, and his presence makes that bench so much better in just a multitude of ways. You know, I mean, it's beyond the fact that just Lamar is a very talented player and more talented than a lot of six-man.
And more talented than Josh Powell, more talented than DJ Banga, guys who don't play once those guys are back.
And for a lot of bench units, he's too talented a player to match up against.
Absolutely.
He can change different guys' roles on that team. You know, he's a guy that you have to mark when he's out there. He may require double teams, you know, which frees up scoring options for everybody. It allows, say, Luke Walton, he was not really a scoring threat. It allows him to be a facilitator without the bench suffering. It allows Jordan Farmar to do some playmaking, but it's not purely on him.
Right.
But on the flip side, right now, Jordan, if he's looking to score, it can be a problem at times because they need somebody to run the offense.
Right. And there aren't a whole lot of guys on the bench who create their own shot. But one of the things that's interesting, though, about the Lakers and the way they're set up is when people talk about the bench, and I agree with you, Gasol's return just puts everything in order in the front court. We saw, you know, in the game, the fourth quarter against the Rockets, DJ Banga, who is, I think, as hard a working player as there is.
Without question.
Great guy, a fan favorite for great reasons.
I still have a Banging with Banga t-shirt.
We love the guy. But, you know, he definitely has limitations as a player. You know, he doesn't defend the middle like Drew. He's not, you know, he's certainly limited offensively. And he's a great shot blocker and a very enthusiastic defender. You know, but it's hard to score when he's on the floor. It's hard to do certain things. Houston goes on a run. I'm not blaming it on DJ, but there's a big difference.
No, and I mean, you know, a guy like Josh Powell, who's, you know, right now shooting about 70% from the floor and is really hot, and you would think on the surface, well, Josh Powell out there can automatically pick up the slack. Not necessarily, because as great as he's been shooting, and, you know, he can be deadly with that pick and pop, the offense doesn't really flow well through him because he's not a particularly good passer.
Exactly, and he can't play down low.
Right, and in the meantime, he's not a great defender.
Right, so, you know, Pau Gasol moves over. He becomes the backup center, really. You know, you might see Lamar there if they go really small at different times. You know, Lamar is obviously the backup power forward. Everything evens out. But when people talk about the bench and what they're criticizing with the bench, generally speaking, they're talking about the backcourt. It's the situation behind Kobe, behind Fish, and where the rest of those guards are going to fit.
Well, with the exception of our crazies on the blog who blame everything on Luke Walton.
Sure. And the 6 minutes a game that he's going to be seeing because our test plays 35, 40 a night. And by the way, Walton probably plays less when Powell comes. There's no question plays less when Powell comes back because that time that Kobe, our test is off the floor, Kobe might play some three.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Luke's minutes may stay about the same.
Right, but my point is they're not.
He's not playing a lot. Well, they're not going to bump up.
Sure.
That's for sure.
People are talking about the backcourt, and what's interesting to me about the Lakers' backcourt situation, obviously we've talked about that going into the season now, they're currently playing a five-guard rotation. I asked Phil Jackson about this earlier in the week, and, you know, I said, you know, are you going to be able to play this way over the course of the season? And he said, no, it's hard enough to play four, and so you can't play five. It's not going to work. There's no question. And so they're in a situation where somebody, at least one guy, is going to end up being cut out of the rotation, possibly two. And you look at it, and Jordan Farmar and Shannon Brown and Sasha Vujicic all have different skill sets, different positives, different negatives.
And they're the three that stand to lose the time because
absolutely.
Derek Fisher, his minutes may decrease.
But he's not going to be out of the rotation.
Right, and, you know, call me crazy, I think Kobe's safe.
Fairly secure at the two. So you're looking at, you know, trying to figure out and how these guys fit in. And right now they're all auditioning and I don't know. You tell me. I think the results have been fairly mixed in some ways for all three of them. And a lot of it depends on what you need out of it.
Well, if you have to ask me if you are, and I think you are.
Well, what do you want to find out? Then I'll ask you.
No. I think you are asking me if a front runner has emerged. And
Andy, has a front runner emerged?
I do. I think Shannon Brown of the three is the least likely to see himself in DNP CD country. They like what he brings on the floor. His skills are raw. And, you know, he's a little bit, you know, neither fish nor fowl when it comes to being a point guard or, you know, a truly ideal shooting guard. But he reminds me a lot of when Trevor Ariza came off the bench at the beginning of last year, and there was that immediate spark of energy, both for the team and for the crowd that I think would, you know, in turn feed the team. They like what he brings, and Phil has said that they consciously look for ways to put him on the floor.
Sure.
So I think Shannon's pretty safe. So it would then come down to between Sasha and Jordan Farmar.
Right.
And from there, I think Sasha is probably the one on the outside.
Right, but here's the problem with Shannon. I think everybody, I think he's a great player and a ton of potential. Here's what Phil Jackson said about Shannon Brown and where he fits in.
And we do depend upon our lead guard, as we call it, which is not a one to really be the organizational person, but, you know, two certainly has to be able to, maybe, you know, the offense the way we run it, you know, three and four could still be the person that does that. You know, Shannon still searches sometimes to how to make, you know, the rhythm of that offense connect with the rest of the players or the spacing of it connect.
You know, and hearing that from Phil Jackson, this was from earlier in the week in practice, but, you know, still will hold true, you know, over the course of time here.
And by the way, he'd gotten very Johnny semantics with me because I was the one that asked him the question, and I said if they had any, I guess, sort of feel at Shannon versus as a one versus a two, and he immediately corrected me that they don't have ones in
right.
their offense. And
don't you dare,
a lead
sir.
Guard. I was like, okay, Phil.
All right.
What a
jeez.
Yeah,
but hey.
I get it. You run the triangle. I get it.
But like, I actually think that soundbite reinforces what you were saying before, because Shannon's biggest problem right now with the offense as a one, when he's backing up Kobe at the two, he goes in there. It's not a big deal because there may be, you know, Fish may be out there or whatever. He doesn't organize the offense as well as Derek. Derek Fisher's main value really to the team, I happen to think he's a better defensively than some other people do, or is not as much of a problem as other people do. But his main value is he gets them into the offense quickly.
And then he goes to run spot up.
Right. And Shannon Brown is a more athletic player and more dynamic and all these other things. But if you don't get the guys into the offense, then you don't get as good of shots, you know, and all these other things. He can learn that. Over the course of the season, I think he'll continue to get better. He'll learn it. Right now, Jordan Farmar maybe operates things a little bit better. But what you said before, Sasha Vujicic's main role is he gets it out there and he can hit shots. If Shannon Brown can hit those same shots, he brings a lot more to the floor than Sasha does. And once Shannon Brown learns to do those things, you're right. I don't know where Sasha plays.
Right. And right now you see it as it is, and it'll become easier with, you know, Powell and Andrew both available and Lamar really being able to play more minutes with the bench. You already see him, Phil, bringing in Shannon a lot of times, you know, either with Lamar or with Ron Artest, who they're starting to have more comfortable running things, or Luke Walton. You know, they'll bring in Shannon a lot of times with another guy who can take that responsibility
right.
literally
they
out
want
of his
him
hands.
To be, they need him to be able to do that if he's going to play bigger
sure.
minutes.
But I'm saying it does allow him to sort of learn on the fly on the court as opposed to in practice.
Right, but then he's in a more of a secondary role in that. They need him to be able to operate it, if not like Fish does it, on a level that's close enough
sure.
to what Fish is doing.
But I've always felt.
But Sasha doesn't do it at
right.
all.
I've always felt, too, and I remember we debated this during the offseason, that ultimately Shannon would find more minutes at the two, whether Phil wants to call it that or not.
Backing up Kobe Bryant.
Yes, I've always felt that.
Yeah, but that's the role that
Sasha has. Sasha's that I think Shannon just does better.
Where Jordan Farmar, I think, fits in places that other people, that the other two guys don't, why I don't know if he'll completely disappear from the rotation. I do think eventually they're going to go down to three guards with a fourth popping up. Farmar runs the break, things like that better. Actually, you can see Shannon and Farmar play together a lot because they can do a lot of ball pressure, things like that. They don't have another guy who directs traffic on the break if they really
right.
want to speed the tempo of things up. Better than Farmer.
And Jordan actually.
Not including
is,
Fish.
Right. And Jordan's actually reasonably capable of creating his own shot.
Sure.
You know, he.
Which can come in handy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And we were talking to Farmer the other day, and it's one of those things where right now, you know, Phil Jackson has said these guys are playing themselves into or out of minutes. They know this is not going to last forever. Farmer said that in some ways that's tough on everybody because everybody's kind of, they don't get a lot of playing time.
You're playing while looking over your shoulder.
Good Lord, we know Sasha's a guy who doesn't thrive unless he knows he's going to be on the minutes, you know, get 20 minutes at a time.
Which is why also I think he may eventually get sat, because we saw last year Sasha in, you know, 4 minutes per game stint,
right.
I think is
he's
sometimes...
He's currently averaging 7 minutes a game.
Right. I think Sasha in that situation hurts a team more than helps, because he just can't wrap his head
around
it.
Right. It's been tough for him. So that, unless that goes up a lot, and it's hard to see where it does, you know, it's a tough situation. But Farmar made an interesting point that if you know, when they sort it out, it'll become much easier for the guys who are still in the rotation, but currently it's sort of hard on all of them.
Right.
But the flip side is, and Phil Jackson denied this as a part of the issue, if you bury guys now, if you just say, you know what, this is it, and you don't give them the run, for someone like Sasha, definitely. For someone like Farmar, I think it's true to a lesser degree. If you bury them now, they're gone. Sasha is gone, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, he would have to show maturity and, you know, some patience that he hasn't over the course of his career.
Well, I mean,
we
got the idea from talking with people that one of the reasons Phil had been looking to try to get something out of him, sticking with him for a while, were concerns that if you bench Sasha now
right.
in the playoffs.
It's a pretty commonly felt
right.
idea.
So.
But not all is lost.
For Sasha.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time at the beginning of the season talking about Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian, the E union heard around the world. We may have bigger news on the Laker/celebrity female front. Reports that Sasha is not denying dating Maria Sharapova. Reported by Darren Revelle over Twitter, the used to be with ESPN, now I believe is with NBC. CNBC. He tweeted that Maria Sharapova was seen at a U2 concert with a Laker, Sasha Vujicic. The two were seen cuddling. An item.
You know what would have been really interesting if, like, the Edge had tweeted that during the concert.
I was actually in Pasadena. I believe that there must have been
the Rose Bowl
concert. I was in Pasadena that day. I was buying furniture at Creighton Grove.
Yeah. World.
So apparently that's been confirmed. Sasha's not denying it. Sasha then strolls in and says, I will see your reality TV star and raise you a 3-time Grand Slam champion, who also happens to be kind of hot.
And is leggy.
Leggy.
She's very leggy. She's done modeling work.
She's 6'2", I believe, correct?
Yeah. You know how you described it very well. What if this were a game of dominoes?
Yeah, he just dominoed the league.
He
I
did.
Think.
Sasha
domino. Maria Sharapova.
He did. That was domino.
Yeah, I think this is a good move for him in the sense that he's dating Maria Sharapova. There's really no downside as far as I can tell. Sasha, I don't think, is denying it. I don't know how much the two...
He said rather cagily, I like tennis.
Right, he likes tennis. I don't know how long the two of them will be, how often they'll be together. But if he doesn't, you know, doesn't play a lot.
This time, it's for real.
It's pretty good. I mean, that trumps.
You know what?
I think this trumps Khloe Kardashian.
In the past, you know, Sasha has been very, very obsessed with his minutes and will tell you
yes.
that he's not happy with his minutes or that it's hard for him to play. This might provide a very welcome distraction. He may find himself going, you know, I'm rested up for when I go home.
Did you just say you think Maria Sharapova trumps Khloe Kardashian?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this
you
is...
You think?
I think this is a trump card right
I don't
here.
Think there's a think involved. I think that's a gimme.
It's done. So, I mean, does it trump Marco Jaric and Adriana Lima?
Does this trump Tony Parker and Ava Longoria?
No.
You don't think so?
No,
you don't think Maria Sharapova is more famous than Ava Longoria?
Are we going based on fame or hotness?
Well, the combination of the two.
We'll see. Like I said, to me, Eva Longoria trumps Maria Sharapova.
It's like hotness. Being judged on Iron Chef. You have three categories. You know, here we have two, fame and hot. And I think in that formula, she trumps...
In America or worldwide?
Eva Longoria, worldwide.
Worldwide, yeah.
And keep in mind, Sasha's a European States. Player trying to get a European appeal.
And he's got a huge base of 14-year-old fans worldwide.
Right.
This is true.
So I think that the question really becomes, and look, this is not, I happen to think that Khloe Kardashian is a very attractive lady.
I do too, actually. I really
Ava Longoria, Adriana Lima, All very attractive people. This is like the LeBron Kobe MJ argument. There's no hating here. You know, if you're in the conversation, you're doing well. I think.
Yeah, sure, but you start to wonder, can this be topped? Can somebody turn around and say, hey, Sasha, tap on his shoulder, domino?
I don't know. By the way, does he get extra points though for finding somebody so compatible for his love of 2, 4, and 6-man volleyball?
Well, we don't know if
she's very tall.
I was going to say, we don't know if she has any skills.
But she's athletic. He's athletic.
And tall. She could be a blocker.
They could play volleyball together. Better than, he was apparently dating an actress last year. This is much different than that.
I play volleyball.
See?
Hang around with friends.
Two man.
And I just love it.
Loves it.
It's great.
So two man, four man,
if you
six
have time,
man.
Or if you want to.
If you want to. Only if you want to.
Let's play four man or six man.
You know what? If
volleyball. I love it.
He loves
it. Really, if you want to. If you don't have time, you can't stop by anyway.
No. The only guy on the team, because most of the team, people don't necessarily know this about the Lakers, most of the guys on the team are married or are in
serious
relationships. I think one of the sort of last bachelors on the team is Andrew Bynum, who was connected to Rihanna last year.
Yeah.
That would trump
Sharapova,
don't you think?
You'll know if
she's a big deal.
You'll
Rihanna.
Know if this is a competition or something within the team. If all of a sudden this weekend Drew's like, "Hey Rihanna,
hey,
how you doing?
Just show you my championship ring.
Just thought I'd give you a call. See how you doing."
Our Andrew Bynum impression is dangerously close to our Mitch Kupchak impression.
Hey guys.
Hey Rihanna. Is this a Rihanna song? I'm that far behind. My understanding, Entertainment Weekly says she's a big deal. So
no, she is
I
both
would
a
not
big
be
deal
able to pick
and
out
frankly
a
smoking hot.
Yeah, she's very attractive. I would not be able to pick out a Rihanna song, though, unless CJ nods
his
head.
Umbrella, Ella.
Is that this?
This one's called Shut Up and Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife likes this song. My wife likes Rihanna.
Here's the thing. Here's the only other way I think you can spin this for Andrew Bynum. Maybe you don't go, what if I think the way you really know he's trying to do just the famous thing. If he shows up, we've heard for a lot of years about the marital difficulties between Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
No, but that doesn't work because she's not nearly as hot.
But she's Secretary of State. So what if he breaks that up? I mean, just in terms of trying to create a media stir.
Honestly, that's not going to work.
If he starts dating Secretary of State Clinton, former,
there's going to be some players in the league who don't even know who she is. That's not going to work.
But for the purpose of sheer media attention,
right.
I really don't think you could top that. Wait a minute. How about this? If Andrew showed up with Michelle Obama.
Wow. That's controversial. That is controversial.
Now, significantly better looking than Hillary Clinton. Not
I was
going to
say.
Category.
She's not first lady anymore at that point, obviously.
Well, I'm saying if
unless
she
the
still
Obama,
was, well, would that make news?
What if the Obamas have What if the Obamas?
Would that make news?
First of all, you don't know if she wouldn't be first lady because you have no idea if they don't have an open marriage.
That's true.
Maybe they swing a little. And then you see
I am uncomfortable referring to our presidential first couple as swingers.
And then
you aren't because 2 weeks ago you wanted to slam dunk on Gandhi. So I am uncomfortable with the direction this conversation
and
is
here's
going.
Where you bring it full circle.
Please.
Barack Obama starts dating Rihanna.
Okay.
The cat is out of the bag.
Absolutely.
That would do it. There actually is another. There's a follow-up joke
because,
to that I can't make.
Because Obama.
There are actually about three or four of them that are cycling through my head, and I'm actually doing the checklist. No. 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 Okay. Well, yeah. Then we'll just keep going.
Yeah, I think that's how you bring it full circle. The four of them, it's like the ice storm or something. They just have key parties. That's how it works out.
See, this isn't fair because now I'm on a list. I shouldn't be on a list, but I'm on a list because my partner in the show, Andy, thinks the president's a swinger.
He referred to Kanye West as a jackass. I'm sure he has a sense of humor.
I hope so.
I think he does. Any thoughts on the Sasha Maria nickname?
Well, she's a Masha.
That's her nickname.
That's her nickname, so you can just go Smasha.
Smasha.
That's the easiest.
Shasha.
Shasha works.
Sharapova.
Vuyapova.
Vuyapova.
Marasha.
Sharapovich?
Is the whole thing that you have to use the last name? Is that how it works?
No, not necessarily.
I thought they had to use last
Sharapovichik.
No, that's not a nickname.
That's weird.
It's not a nickname at all. That's just like another long line. I think you just take the obvious here and you go Smasha.
Smasha.
Yeah.
Or Shasha. Kind of like Shasha.
I don't know. Maybe we should put a poll up.
Poll Daddy.
Twitter. All right, so that's that. We'll keep an eye on this big and important breaking news.